The drive continues with Need to Know Basis on TSN 1200.
Well, I do accuse In the Box of hanging on to their music a little bit long, but it's hard when Aqua's on. Dr. Jones. Matt Consvita's dancing.
Oh, yeah, this brings me back.
Here we go. I have a feeling you're going to play this song. Like, when the Red Blacks, I hope they don't lose two in a row, but let's say they lose two in a row. Game three, they need to fix the offense. All of a sudden, they put up 48.
Yeah, get Dr. Jones on the phone to fix this ailing offense.
Love it. Quickly, here's what you need to know. Artem Zub's out for a month with a fractured jaw. So Ottawa's going to have to find a way again without one of their best defensemen. You need to know that we have Tampa and the New Orleans Saints season on the line tonight. On the brink, Maddie, just after 8 o'clock on TSN 1200, Saints and the Bucks. You need to know that earlier today, Croatia on penalties defeated Japan. And Brazil had no problem with Korea, up 4-0 at the half, and they won 4-1. So it sets up some unbelievable quarterfinal matchup so far at the World Cup, including England and France. But now Croatia will play Brazil, and we already knew that the Netherlands was going to play Argentina. And coming up tomorrow, the two other round of 16 games that have Morocco and Spain clashing before Portugal and Switzerland. So I don't know how those games are going to go, but you could have Portugal, Spain, England, France, Croatia, Brazil, the Netherlands, Argentina as your quarterfinal matchups at the World Cup.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty, 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 pretty good.
Sure is. Trey Turner's 11-year, $300 million deal with the Philadelphia Phillies is also pretty good. Brian Cashman, the GM of the Yankees, is re-signed for 4 more years. Justin Verlander is signed a 2-year, $86 million deal, 43 per. With the New York Mets. The Carolina Panthers have released Baker Mayfield, and he is on waivers now. Will he be claimed by somebody before he gets to San Francisco? And would the 49ers end up taking him? It'd be a prorated contract of $1.3 million for Baker Mayfield for the rest of the year. And Lamar Jackson is out. What they're calling right now, week to week with a knee injury.
What was it that I saw Harbaugh say? Week to week, not this week, though. This week, probably not.
It's probably less likely for this week.
That's what the quote was, yeah.
Yeah. You know what?
You don't say. Eh?
John's learning a little bit too much from his brother. Like, John was the cool Harbaugh before, okay? That the cool, calm, collected, never needed to be the spotlight guy. But now he's getting a little Jim into him. Although, you know, Michigan right now doing their own stuff. I don't know if you saw much NCAA football on the weekend, but
I think I saw that TCU's in.
Even though they lost.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure. Feel a little iffy about, to be quite frank with you.
I've seen a lot of think pieces that I haven't read. It's like the four best teams aren't in, but this is why that's okay.
Right.
Well, and I was listening to...
So USC got killed by Utah again.
Yeah.
So they're out.
But who's the team that people think maybe should be in that are on the outside that could have been in instead of TCU?
Alabama.
Is it Bama?
Yeah.
But Bama didn't play on championship weekend, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I was listening to a little bit of...
But neither did Ohio State. They got in.
Okay. Well, based on what I listened to, I could understand not wanting to punish TCU for losing while other teams sat at home and they lost by three or something, was it?
They lost in overtime by three and they got stood up at the goal line. They were about a foot from winning that game.
Right.
But they still have two losses on their record to Ohio State's one. Ohio State got in, but I don't know. I just feel like, and I want to cheer for the underdog, but the underdog can't lose twice, and then you can tell me that they're better than Alabama. You can tell me they're better than Alabama if they lost once or they didn't lose at all. I'm really iffy, Matt, on how I feel about this college football stuff, because I don't think 12 teams is ridiculous.
Mm.
But the piece that I have ready to go, but like you, I haven't had time. But the title of the piece reads, "Let's predict all the scores for all 43 bowl matchups from the Bahamas Bowl to the college football playoff."
Jeez.
So I got a lot of reading to do in that one article.
Oof. No Monday night football for you. You got to read about 47 different predictions.
All right. You know what I could not have predicted? And that's what happened to the Senators on the weekend. Winners of two of their last three, but they did lose that game at home to the Rangers. So they were going into Madison Square Garden on Friday night. And I know if you're a Sens fan, you know what happened. Maybe you saw it. Maybe you didn't. But here's a little bit of a reminder. We're going to start down 2-1 with the goaltender pulled and let you hear what happened after that.
Loose puck cleared back to the line, held in by Shabbat. Scores! Shabbat! A seeing eye puck tipped by Tkachuk on the way to the net. He gets his magic 100th, and it ties the game at two. Out to center. Brady Tkachuk, Panarin comes back to catch him. Tkachuk cuts in, scores! Brady Tkachuk buries it, the overtime game winner, as Ottawa comes back and takes this away from the Rangers.
Oh my goodness, what a massive extra point this is for the Senators, and what a play this was by Brady Tkachuk.
What a game it was for Brady Tkachuk, and again, everything lined up. Game number 300 of his career, the goal to tie it, goal number 100 of his career, and he wins it in overtime. He had the Gordie Howe hat trick before overtime started. Goal, assist, and as DJ Smith called it, a big boy fight. He had all of it. And you're thinking Brady Tkachuk, who, by the way, was out on the ice for a minute with Panarin chasing him. And I don't know if Panarin couldn't catch him or didn't want to catch him. But after Cam Talbot stopped Mika Zibanejad on a breakaway, Brady Tkachuk wins it in overtime. And like emotion pouring out of Brady Tkachuk, just pouring out of him. The next day, here's how his coach, DJ Smith, talked about the performance on Friday night.
It might be the best game I've seen anyone play since I've been here. Really, when you look at it, you know, a couple goals, you know, his offensive presence early in the first period, his tips, he could have scored another one off a face-off jump, the fight at center ice, just all the things that went with it. It's a guy that clearly is dragging guys into the fight every day. He's having his best year.
So Brady Tkachuk, the coach called it the best performance he has seen by a player since he has been here. I understand DJ Smith hasn't won the majority of his game, so how many impressive performances could he possibly have seen? But that was the best. It was incredible on Friday night. But I guess with Erik Karlsson and Daniel Alfredsson sitting on Karlsson's couch in Ottawa, watching the Sens and the Rangers as the Sharks were already here, waiting for Ottawa to come back on Saturday, how would they follow that up? Well, maybe the best overall shift of the year for Ottawa in the third period.
Here's Karlsson, along the boards. 3 seconds to go in the power play. Centering pass deflected away. Shabbat's out.
What a kill.
Tipped away. Karlsson centers it in front. Oh, what a save from Forsberg.
Still can't get it out, though, Dean.
Puck comes out of the line. Here's a chance. Giroux in all alone. Lines, fires, scores! He punches that right through the back of the net.
I asked Gord Wilson earlier when he joined us in the box, could he replicate that beautiful call of the goal? He declined. But
the thing about that from Gord is, and that's the first time I've heard that call, that is the exact same sound I made in the booth standing behind Dan Rusinowski and Brett Hedekin when I saw it. Like, you're going in on a 2-0, and you're not thinking Deke. You're not thinking, like, I'm just winding up and firing a slap shot from between the circles.
I love that move.
And he buries it.
It's such a flex move.
Oh, my goodness. Is it ever. And that is the exact same sound that I made in the booth as I moved back to the board to try and take the ice effects down, because that goal horn was loud and the building was rocking.
Well, how rocking was it, Claude Giroux?
Yeah, I mean, since I'm here, you know, the home opener, it was pretty loud, but I think I remember scoring and then hearing, like, looking at the crowd and hearing the crowd, and it was for sure the loudest it's been since I'm here. So, you know, anytime that happens, it's that's why you play the game.
To watch you take a slap shot on a breakaway, that's why we watch the game. But again, we've talked about this a couple of times. The build-up in hockey and in sports. One of the really cool things about talking to either people that have called or watched some of the big moments, like in football, you usually don't get 10, 12, 15 seconds, but on AJ's second and 25 call, he did, right? Like a miraculous play, but then Ellingson's still going to run for 10 seconds into the end zone. And he's got not all this time, but there's this rumble, excitement, and then amazing ovation and cheering when Ellingson catches a miraculous pass. That shift, that kill, the 3-on-5, then 4-on-5, and then getting the puck to Giroux, which should have been a penalty on Tyler Mott. I think we all agree. It should have been. It wasn't called. Sens got a break, and they buried it. I just can't remember a time that a goal built as much as that one built to then the ovation that happened. And I don't know if the Sens, Matt, are going to turn this season around, but I am 1,000,000% going to point back to Friday and Saturday night, if they somehow get back up into the playoff race, as the two games that put them with their mindset back in the playoff race. An incredible couple of nights for the Ottawa Senators when they desperately needed it.
Yeah, just an, as you said, an unbelievable sequence. One of those moments that you're going to remember as a Sens fan for a long time. And I can't think of any sequences exactly like that one. But my mind flashed back. You and I, it must have been a Saturday game, because you and I were doing Sunday Best with Angry Al on Sunday mornings. And I know that the Sens were at MSG and the Rangers had a 5-on-3. And Martin Gerber made a few ridiculous saves on this 5-on-3. And at one point, he dropped his stick and picked the puck up with his hand and threw it out of the zone. And I tried to find when it happened, and I've found it. I'm just going through our system now, because I remember doing a re-entry on the Sunday morning where I used the long run-up from the beginning of Jungle Land by Bruce Springsteen, and I had synced it up with the call of the saves that that Gerber had made, and I had it timed, and I remember Angry Al talking about, like, just how seamlessly it worked. And I've found the folder here, and I guess Martin Gerber had a huge game at MSG, because I've got three highlights from the game. Gerby 1, Gerby 2, Gerby 3. but I'm going to guess it's this one. I'm just going to play it. Let's listen to this together.
Hey, this is free-flowing radio.
For the five-on-three sequence.
Okay.
That I sort of, it didn't culminate with the goal from what I recall, but here we go.
Back in front. Here's Jagr with a chance. Gerber the save. Puck is still loose. Gerber covers up for a moment. Now to the corner. It's cleared. Rangers hold it in. Here's Straka. Goes wide side. Shanahan. Oh, my heavens. What a save by Gerber. Then he throws the puck out to center. Oh, my heavens. That's unbelievable.
What did he do that for?
It was a discus. He dropped his stick with a blocker and give the discus. Here's Shanahan. Blocker saved by Gerber.
He's unconscious now.
Get the paddles. He can't be living if he's doing this. Shanahan back in front. Loose puck. Gerber again. Oh, my. Back in front. There's a shot. Oh, it's blocked in front of the net by Volchenko.
Wow. That was impressive. What was, I think, most impressive out of all of that is Dean and Gord sounded exactly the same. When was that from? What year?
That was 2007.
Come on.
October 13th, 2007.
15 years later, they sound exactly the same.
Love that.
Incredible.
Love that.
But yeah, a build, right, for a fan. Like something happens and then another thing happens and then something else and it gradually kind of gets you up, and if you're in the arena, it gets you out of your seat.
They kill the penalty, so you're standing to applaud that they've killed it off. As you heard Dean and Gord call it, couldn't clear it, and then next thing you know, Tyler Mott maybe gets away with one a little bit, but forces the turnover, finds Giroux. Giroux in alone. What a moment. What a moment at the Canadian Tire Center
and that's
on Saturday.
Off the heels of the best individual performance we've seen in a very, very long time. Brady Tkachuk willed his team to win that game. Mix in a pretty good weekend for Thomas Chabot. And the Sens' best players come into play because both goalies played really well in the weekend and should be noted for how well they played, Cam Talbot and Anton Forsberg. Unfortunately, they've dug themselves a hole again at the beginning of the year where when you win four or five, sometimes it vaults you up. This one has just kind of even got them in a conversation. So they're going to have to win another four or five, another 8 of 10 to put themselves back up into more of a conversation. Can they do it? Can they do it without Artem Zub? Well, that journey begins tomorrow night against the LA Kings. And we will have the pregame show for you at 5, and the puck drops at 7 tomorrow night here on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the drive. What do you got for us now, Matt Conesvita?
Oh, we're going back to the Space Jam soundtrack. Little Chris Rock and Barry White. Little Basketball Jones. Feel like Kahari Jones, a football Jones, not a basketball Jones, mm-hmm. But I saw someone text in Basketball Jones to 12-1200 where standard messaging rates apply. And you know what? Footloose, this one's for you.
Always good to hear from Footloose.
One of our absolute favorites.
Yeah. So many questions on a Monday for me. Can the Sens follow up what they did on the weekend and put a real run together to get back in the race and have to do it without Artem Zub? I don't know the answer. I thought the San Francisco 49ers could win the Super Bowl. Can they now with Brock Purdy?
Probably not.
Well, pretty good defense and run game, though. Mm-hmm. A lot of weapons there.
Just get Christian McCaffrey to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Dial up Debo.
Are we going to get an all-timer World Cup? It feels like, to me, it feels like if Spain and Portugal win tomorrow, we might have one of the best quarterfinals, like 8 teams.
Do you feel like it's better when there's one Cinderella? Or do you think like an all powerhouse quarterfinal is better?
I guess it would depend on what you mean by a Cinderella. Is Morocco a Cinderella by winning their group? Like, do you feel the Cinderella when you watch Morocco play? I don't, but I'm not saying I'm right. just saying that they won their group and they're pretty good, but they're probably not in the same running. I think I'm all for the Cinderella underdog, but those teams have to win a couple of games and not just one. Like, one big upset is fine, but you got to put together a couple. It's like when Greece won the Euros. I believe that was back in 04, maybe. I'd have to go back. But Greece never, you know what I mean? They beat all these teams and they just kept winning.
But it wasn't fun to watch them win. Like, when I think of like Iceland and the run they went on, that was fun.
Yep.
Wales, when Wales went on their run. Was that at the Euros, I think, for Wales? And the Welsh run at the Euros was super fun to watch. But, like, I know AJ always brings up
Greece is nil.
Greece,
nil.
You get to the end of the tournament and, like, oh, I guess Greece won. And it wasn't captivating. Like, I think Morocco has the ability to be that team, to be exciting to watch. You watch how they played in that game against Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. In this case, when you look at the quarterfinals that are already set, Croatia, Brazil, like, I don't know how anyone's going to beat Brazil if Brazil plays anywhere close to how they played in the first half today. Netherlands, Argentina. I don't know that either of those sides can win the whole thing, but you're in the quarterfinals. Anything can happen. England, France should be a heck of a tilt. And as you said, if we dare look ahead, Spain, Portugal would be a tasty showdown, a delicious, delicious matchup. I'm sure there's some animosity between the two countries.
So what's the best result for you, though, like in a final?
So would it be winner of Croatia, Brazil face winner of Argentina, Netherlands?
Yes.
My dream final is probably, from an entertainment standpoint, Brazil-Spain. I feel like Brazil-Spain would be the best matchup. I'd love to see England go through. France is super fun to watch as well. Even though they're down a couple of important players, you look at what Kylian Mbappe has been doing. I saw one of the reporters who's at the World Cup in Qatar, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but he had how many goals Lionel Messi scored in how many games at the World Cup? Cristiano Ronaldo and then Kylian Mbappe. And Mbappe is like one goal behind both of them. And I think Mbappe has 9 goals in like 11 matches. What Mbappe has been doing is astonishing. And you look at like Olivier Giroud setting the record for France, passing Thierry Henry for most goals at the World Cup. Like, that France side is something special, too. But England is always fun to watch. It's also kind of like, I have English ancestry. My mom's side of the family is a British ancestry. And so I have, like, a bit of an affinity for them. But their fans are so entitled sometimes, considering they never win. So it's also kind of entertaining for me in a weird way when they lose.
It's like, well, of course, they're the Cowboys.
They are.
Of soccer.
They are. Or the Leafs of soccer.
Yeah, 100%.
It's coming home.
So let me present two different scenarios to you, and you tell me which one is better in the final. Is it England-Brazil, which would be, for me, like, I think it would be the most watched World Cup game of all time?
Yep.
But let me present to you Messi versus Ronaldo in the World Cup final.
Yeah, that'd be pretty.
Argentina, Portugal, Messi versus Ronaldo in the World Cup final, or England, Brazil. What do you want more?
I want England, Brazil more.
Okay.
I'm tired of watching Ronaldo. I'm tired of watching, complain about being subbed off and whining to everyone that'll listen, trying to take credit for a goal that he didn't touch because he wants to be the first man to score in five different World Cups. Like, I'm done with you, Ronaldo. And I just feel bad for Messi. In that Argentina game, the amount of times, like, Messi put the ball right on somebody's foot and it's like wide open net, and his teammate just like skies it, blasts it like 50 feet above the net.
Hey, they're there.
I know.
They're in the quarterfinals.
But I feel bad. Like, that 2-1 win over Australia was a lot tighter than it needed to be, given some of the opportunities Messi gave his teammates. And so, I mean, Messi versus Ronaldo would be incredible. And there's all the talk of, you know, Messi, the thing that eludes him is a World Cup. I like him a lot more than I like Ronaldo. But for me, football is so much more than just one player. And so,
being an Aaron Rodgers guy, I'm a little confused. Your football team, that's much more than one player, even though your whole entire football team is one player.
Hey, Christian Watson, look at what he's doing
now. Yeah,
now. Look at what he's doing now.
Now.
Yeah, he had to figure out how to catch
the
ball.
You've been a fan of a team that's been a one-person football team forever. Forever.
Davante Adams, who?
Exactly.
Aaron Jones, who?
Yeah.
They're not a one man.
He takes
up a lot of oxygen. You're right.
I wanted you to say Messi versus Ronaldo. I actually thought you were going to.
No, can't do it.
I would prefer an England-Brazil World Cup final. I think it'd be incredible.
Brazil's so fun to watch. Like, you see, after one of the goals today, they're all dancing in celebration. Their coach is doing like the old man dance with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Chris Jones, who's covering the tournament for CBC, wrote a piece over the weekend about how it's feeling like at this World Cup, joy is winning out, and the teams who are actually like having fun are succeeding. You look at like Belgium taking everything so seriously and not making it out of the group stage. Meanwhile, like Brazil and England and teams who seem to be playing joyful football are actually having success, and who knows if that'll carry on. But Brazil, for me, like, you look at some of the goals they scored today, that third goal was unbelievable.
They're just so good. It's like a machine.
Yeah, but it's not a machine because they're it's not like the old Russians in the Summit series where they're a machine and they don't show any emotion. Like, they're clinical with their precision, but they also seem to play with emotion. It's been fun to watch.
Clinical with their precision. You've been listening to a lot of soccer.
Oh, yeah.
Over the last little while. All right, we'll take a final break, look at traffic, and come back and tee up tonight in the NFL and get you in it tomorrow. Lieber Sage, Matt Conesvita here on The Drive on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to The Drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive, Lieber Sage and Matt Conesvita. Thankfully, this will be the end of the Joneses songs.
Maybe I'll carry it into tomorrow.
No.
Play some artists named Jones.
Can't see it.
Little Led Zeppelin.
No.
You only got 1 hour show tomorrow.
And what if the game goes overtime?
Oh, what if? What if?
What if, Matt? What time does pregame show start tomorrow?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. That game goes to overtime or
penalties?
Sorry, extra time. Not overtime.
Extra time. Yeah.
Not
stoppage time.
My apologies.
We're into stoppage time of extra time, was something I said at home today.
Yeah. The possibility exists that you'll have a lot of commercials to make up for.
Mm. And then on for 1 hour downtown tomorrow, and then in the car to sit in traffic and get out to the game because Nick Nixon, Hall of Fame voice of the Los Angeles Kings, be working with him, and I believe Darrell Evans, who is part of the Miracle on Manchester.
That's right, 6'5".
One of my favorite broadcast teams to work with. Always great when they're in town, get to see them once a year. Looking forward to that tomorrow, and looking forward to hoping it'll be a big night again at the CTC. What an atmosphere, and we've been talking about it a little bit throughout the show today. But Sens fans, even on the nights this season where it hasn't been a packed barn, the crowds have been good this year. The crowds have been really, really good. And I think that'll continue after a couple of big wins. I think that'll continue tomorrow night. Looking forward to it.
Tonight, I want to look forward to the game between Tampa and New Orleans because it's Monday Night Football. And when I say that the New Orleans Saints season's on the brink, that's actually true, because if they lose, it's all over. But if they win, they will be tied in wins at the top of the division. They won't be in first place, but nobody will have more wins in that division than New Orleans if they win tonight. Do you know, since week two of this year, after week two, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Matt, have won three games and are 3-6 in their last nine? Their three wins, they beat Atlanta at home by 6. They beat a putrid Rams team at home by 3. And they beat Seattle at home by 5. There is nothing that tells me that they are going to have an easy time of it tonight. They're favored by 3.5. I almost want to change my pick, because I picked Tampa at the beginning of the week, but there's nothing that tells me that Tampa is just going to win this game tonight. And I'm hoping for maximum chaos. So I will be sitting there rooting against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers again.
You're going to be rooting against Tom Brady. That seems out of character for you.
It's true. But again, they'll still be on top of their division if they lose tonight at 5-7. The good news, after if they lose this game, their next couple of games are against the San Francisco 49ers and the Cincinnati Bengals. I get it. It's Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. But I kind of feel like old Joe Burrow's getting hot at the right time. So this is not going to be easy for Tampa. The good news is they have Atlanta, New Orleans, and Carolina, who just lose every game they ever play. You taking New Orleans? Brink. Season's on the brink? Come on, Matty. Change your pick.
I'm not changing my pick. I'm sticking with touchdown Tommy.
All right.
On a primetime game. I feel like it's going to be low scoring tonight. That's my prediction. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to catching some of the Manning cast. That's my plan.
We have Portugal and Switzerland tomorrow at 2. We'll be on after that. And to get you into the Sens pregame show against the LA Kings, thanks for listening to The Drive here on TSN 1200.